Investigations are underway into the death of a Brisbane woman in a suspected murder-suicide involving her ex-partner earlier this week. 49-year-old Doreen Langham died in a suspicious house fire in her home, hours after she called the police for help. Her estranged partner had breached a temporary violence order a number of times since it was imposed earlier this month. This latest family violence tragedy comes as Australia considers a different approach to domestic violence, with a push to criminalise coercive and controlling behaviour. Cathy Van Extel has prepared this report, and just a warning, this report contains some very distressing content.
So unit 3, number 49,
true.
What's happening there?
Sorry, what's happening?
That's a 000 call domestic violence survivor Geraldine Bilston made in 2015 as her then recently estranged partner rammed her with a car. He'd been stalking her for days despite an AVO in place.
For days he just breached that order. He had no regard for it. He was stalking me. It felt like he was hunting and that I was his prey.
After a vicious physical assault, Geraldine Bilston had made the decision to leave with her 2-year-old daughter. She'd endured years of coercive control.
It can include physical abuse or the threat of physical abuse. During that time, I was experiencing a lot of different things. I had no access to money. I literally had no bank account in my own name. All of our assets were in his name. My ID had been destroyed. I was regularly verbally abused and humiliated and denigrated. And I didn't think of myself as a family violence victim. I didn't actively think about if I leave, I might be murdered. But I did towards the end.
Legislation to make coercive control a crime is being considered in several jurisdictions. This week, the ACT made an in-principle commitment. It follows Queensland's move last week to establish a task force with the goal of a law within 4 years. New South Wales is midway through a parliamentary inquiry into coercive control.
It seems like every state and territory in the country is at some point in considering this, which is pretty phenomenal given this was not even on the agenda at the beginning of last year. It's moved very quickly.
Journalist Jess Hill, the author of See What You Made Me Do, says the horrific murder of Hannah Clark and her 3 children, who were set alight in their car in Brisbane a year ago, was a watershed moment.
We were talking about power and control in domestic abuse and violence, but we weren't talking about this, you know, typical plotline that we see play out time and again in these relationships where an offender or perpetrator is using particular behaviours and techniques to oppress their partner and often their kids.
Jess Hill gave evidence at the New South Wales hearing yesterday.
Parts of domestic violence are a crime. A physical assault is a crime. A sexual assault is a crime. But most of what happens in the coercive of control is utterly invisible to the eyes of the law. And what that means is that when a victim is in court, they are really only presenting particular incidents. But to the courtroom, you cannot see the whole system of abuse, and therefore you cannot see the risk. You know, 99% of domestic homicides in New South Wales were characterised by coercive control. This is the strongest indicator for future homicide that we have.
But there's caution and in some cases opposition from some DV advocates and women's groups, including those supporting Indigenous women and women from non-English speaking backgrounds. Kate Fitzgibbon is director of the Monash Gender and Family Violence Prevention Centre. She gave evidence to the New South Wales inquiry yesterday that Australia isn't ready for coercive control laws.
The criminal justice system is a very blunt tool, and creating criminal offences will only serve a very small percentage of victim survivors. What we're really calling on the New South Wales inquiry to do is to implement whole of system reform to ensure that we have specialist understanding and training on coercive control amongst all organisations and agencies that respond to family violence, and that we know how to adequately identify, assess and manage risk of family violence so that we can ensure that we get support and security outcomes to those that need it. The criminal justice system will not do that. It will provide an avenue through which justice could be achieved. But we know that for many women, they do not receive justice through this system, and that in some cases it can be re-traumatising for them.
So are you opposed to criminalising coercive behaviour?
I do not think we need a standalone offence of coercive control. It will take a lot of resources. We already know that the criminal justice system is heavily backlogged, and I don't believe that without significant reform to evidentiary requirements that we would be sending women into a system that would improve their safety.
Queensland's vow to bring in a law has been welcomed by Hannah Clark's parents, Lloyd and Sue, who've been campaigning since the tragedy.
She'd still be alive today, she'd, and the kids.
They want a law similar to Scotland's. In force for almost 2 years, it's considered the gold standard globally. Scottish Women's Aid played a central role, along with police, in crafting the law. Chief Executive Marcia Scott cautions it'll be years before it can be judged, but there's promising early data.
So there have been over 1,000 prosecutions. Crown Office figures show that they are proceeding to prosecution for over 90% of the cases that police are sending them. It reflects a couple of things. One is that the police are understanding the application of the new law, and they are creating a charge that includes the evidence that they have gathered and passing it on to our prosecution service in a way that's appropriate and matches the new law.
For those that end up in court, the conviction rate is around 85%. Marcia Scott understands Australian concerns about unintended consequences of a new law. She says Scottish Women's Aid is on alert.
These miscarriages of justice happen every day in Australia, in every part of Australia, just like they do in Scotland. Putting in a new law isn't going to suddenly make something that isn't happening already.
Kate Fitzgibbon says coercive control laws in Scotland, England and Wales are important examples, but it's early days.
There's also some really important differences here. We know that in Scotland there is significant specialisation in domestic violence policing. There is not the same level of specialisation in policing of domestic violence in New South Wales.
Jess Hill argues coercive control laws send an important societal signal. Geraldine Bilston agrees.
Our system hierarchied the physical bruises that he had left on me, and then it completely ignored the way I had been psychologically affected, which really is what has left me with lifelong scars. And on one hand, I just feel so grateful and so lucky to be alive. And in another way, I know that I just can't be who I was before all this, that she's gone, and sometimes I just still grieve for her.
It's not right and it's not fair. Geraldine Bilston, a domestic violence survivor, ending that report from Cathy Van Exel. And if you'd like to hear more of Geraldine's story, we'll post that full interview with Cathy on the RN Breakfast website shortly. And if you or anyone you know needs help, it is available. You can contact 1-800-RESPECT. That's 1-800-789-978.